Joel Pearl, Tim and Joel, call it in the ring. Do we have to? Do we have to this week, Joel Pearl?
I have a better question. Can we coexist?
I guess we're going to find out. And three other people comment on whether or not we can, where one of them believes we can, one of them believes we can't, and then one sits on the fence.
But then what happens when, if we can coexist, and then later on we can't coexist?
I guess we change the rules on what happens when that happens arbitrarily on the same show for no good reason.
Okay, hear me out. We go in and we say we can coexist. Okay. Yeah. And then we don't coexist. And after 5 minutes, we're still put back in the same situation and told you better coexist. But then can we coexist?
As long as we make a big show about it.
All right. Well, apparently the two of us can coexist for now.
If we must.
Meanwhile, if you want to coexist with us, toss a thumbs up on this video, would you? Maybe you can leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. Maybe if you're not watching us live here at youtube.com/Tim and Joel Pod, you can subscribe to us here. We're almost at a big round number that I would like to see more of.
Yay, round numbers.
Come and join us. Yeah, come and join us. Get those round numbers with us. Also, there's a Discord. We've got one. There's a link in the video description. We hang out there. We talk about wrestling. We talk about food and sports and stuff. If we're your cup of tea, we would like to see more of you. Why not? Let's do it. Tim, I am not Tony Khan, but I can tell you that we are working on what is the greatest, most amazing show of our lives. Wrestling is back. It's the Friday Night Wars, or is it? Tim, you saw what TK tweeted. You saw his whole... We talked about it on Sunday, too. We talked about this.
We did. We did talk about this.
Now, I want to ask you, as someone who's not like fully immersed in the bubble, you saw the stuff that Tony Khan had tweeted talking about, going up against Raw or going up against SmackDown and how Raw was a shit product on Monday. And he's not wrong. Basically saying that, they're going to take the fight to WWE with their programming. Do you see it that way? Do you see a world in which AEW and WWE actually have a clash? What do you think? What do you think of what he's saying? What do you think of WWE's really doing nothing at this point to rebut?
I don't think they need to, because none of this really matters to either of them business-wise. Like, it really, I don't know. I think that AEW will make it a big deal because of the ratings, but ratings, as far as I'm concerned, don't matter because they don't. Like, WWE's got a 20-year head start financially, but Tony Khan's got daddy's money. So, I don't know. Like, my opinion is that the majority of both shows I will find somewhat boring with a couple inspired segments each.
Okay.
It's been a dull week for me wrestling-wise. Like, I'm not enjoying much. Yeah.
I'm going to push back. The only reason I'm going to push back is because I understand where you're coming from. And yes, from a very pragmatic point of view, the money on the table doesn't matter because the money on the table is very large and both sides have it. However, when you talk about the length of time both companies have been in business, mm-hmm. WWE, like you said, has a clear head start. Are you seeing this more as Tony Khan is being the type of person to poke the bear and the bear is ignoring it? Or do you see that Tony Khan is looking for a way to poke the bear and make it seem like the product he's putting on can be an immediate, competition to WWE?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it is. Like, I think that the product they put on is better right now, on the whole.
I'll disagree with you. Like, not about the product being better, because I do think that AEW is putting on a better product for me. However, I will push back about comparing the two.
Yeah, like, they're different. They're so different right now in terms of, like, what their concerns are. Like, WWE is a public company with, sitting thoroughly on the Fox News side of the media spectrum, doing their thing, targeting their audiences, focusing on, you know, selling toys to children. So I just don't think that they're in the same space, like in terms of what their goals are.
I mean, AEW likes to sell products to children. No, I'm
just kidding. Who does? It seems like that's the number one goal. No,
they also know that like half of their wrestlers go toy hunting. So there's that. Okay. I understand where you're coming from. I hear you. I agree with you. It's the marketing is very different.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. They're catering to a group of people who are very different. You've got families on one side. You've got nostalgia with their little kids trying to bring them in. This is WWE trying to bring their kids into what is a safe family environment versus AEW, who are very much taking those who maybe are in that age bracket who either don't have kids, feel comfortable exposing their kids to a product that's a little more tough, and also might be looking for an excuse not to bring their kids into something that they want to have for themselves. So let's take out that. TV rights deals are a thing. You cannot deny
it. Yeah.
You want to make the most money based on the product that you're putting on. And yes, AEW is putting on a great product. It's bringing in some numbers. Is it bringing in enough numbers to see a larger content base and a larger financial backing in, you know, moving forward? Is it enough? Is it going to be enough for them to go and say, hey, we may not be beating them, but we are constantly up on their tails and we're only 2 years old at this point?
Which is like, it is noteworthy. I'm just thinking of Turner and like how passionate they are about this on the whole. Like, are they ever the number one on any, has TBS or TNT ever been like the number one network for anything? Like they're comfortable. So they one of them was launched to like air movies. And like, it's just funny to me because like it does very much feel like a two opposite sides of like media empires, right? Because you've got Turner, which owns like CNN and all that. And WWE is thoroughly, like I said before, on the Fox News side of the spectrum, I don't know who USA's parent network is, but like their product is definitely for that market. And it's just very funny to me because it's like, but it's still wrestling for all of it. So I don't know. Like, neither one of them is a threat to each other's existence. So it's just, they can coexist, you know?
I think there's something to the fact that Tony Khan will continue to needle at WWE, especially as they get closer to an earnings call.
Yeah.
Because we've seen more and more investors and more people involved in those earnings calls ask about AEW, and for WWE to continuously say, they're not on our radar, we're not dealing with them, blah, blah, blah. That eventually is going to get to them, and they're going to have to give an answer that isn't, we have our blinders on, and therefore we move forward without thinking of competition. They say sleep is a competition, which was taken out of context, but it's still part of their overall overarching plan at WWE, which is content, content, content. It doesn't matter what you're producing as long as it's physically out there.
Yeah.
Whereas AEW is focusing on the quality of their content and then pushing out as much as they can because,
but also quantity. Like, that's the thing is, like, they also have just an ass load of content. Like,
they do. And it feels like they're building for a larger content creation base where they can put out everything on like AEW Network or whatever TNT or TBS's, what do they have? Warner Media has a standalone thing.
Yeah, everyone does at this point.
I know. Paramount Network, I think.
Paramount, yeah, but that's...
Either way, it exists is the point. Yeah, absolutely. And for them to put that much out there so that they can get bought, not bought out, but certainly have their content bought, purchased, that is a big deal. I think moving forward, I think that's something to think about because Tony Khan, first of all, finds out on Friday night that SmackDown is going to go 30 minutes into Rampage. And instead, he goes on a tweet rampage. And next thing you know, you have the buy-in, which is going to be a YouTube show on Friday night starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. So for the first, or sorry, for the 90 minutes crossing through, the look on your face is wonderful right now. You're having none of it. SmackDown and Rampage will go head to head for about an hour. And yeah, there you go. Oh, no, 90 minutes. You got to get a second screen.
I don't care enough to watch this much. Like, I prefer television shows that have defined finishes when they start, you know? Like, I don't need stuff to just drag on forever. So this is just not how I consume content, by, like, constantly being bombarded with the same... Like, it doesn't change. It doesn't get any... Oh, man. Like, at this point, like, after watching NXT last night, I'm just constantly being reminded of how one note everything feels. So I don't know. I'm a little underwhelmed. I like AEW. I don't need like 10,000 shows. I don't care.
You don't want to watch Dark
people can watch it. Yeah, just stop doing story on them. Just run matches. But I don't know what the people want, and I don't care. I'm gonna watch what I'm gonna watch.
It sounds like the people continuously want more content, because while you and I may be out of the majority, a lot of people are talking about how these companies are going head to head on a Friday night, how they have kind of one-upped each other, not even one-up each other. It was more like SmackDown was like, hey, we're going to go 30 minutes extra because we're on a different station and we can. And then AEW was like, well, fuck these guys, we're just going to go ahead and do, and we're just going to do an hour on YouTube just because we can.
I mean, like, I want them to fight.
There's another reason why they're doing that extra hour at Rampage.
What? Wait, what? Extra hour?
No. The buy-in is an extra hour.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
There's a reason why they're doing that.
Why?
The ticket sales are soft at the arena for Friday.
So they just add more show?
Yeah, because originally it's like, I think a lot of people assume that they're going and they're buying tickets for what is an hour show. They don't realize that while there is that live hour,
that makes
there's
sense.
Also dark tapings and elevation tapings that happen around that live hour. I don't think people understand that or realize that. So yeah, instead, they're like,
be clear
why
on
would
that
I
ticket sale then? Like,
you can only put so much information somewhere that people are not going to read.
Oh my God.
That's just the problem with ticket buyers. They don't understand all the time. Like, they're going for the main show, not necessarily everything around it. So they did, listen, the buy-in for better or worse is because they have almost sold out for Saturday Night Dynamite, but for the Rampage show, they were not nearly there. Anything you want to add?
I mean, I'm glad they're having these because they're, at least it's making AEW really want to ramp things up. I assume WWE tends to anyway. They pretend like there's no competition here, but then they really do try to outdo it. So you'll get like weeks here and there that are like really well done. And it's because they felt a little bit of pressure. Again, never acknowledging it publicly, but they absolutely do, given how they've been booking shows lately. So,
right. So there's space for both. We've talked about this a billion times.
Yeah, I like to the point where I just like, I don't care. Like, none of them is a threat to each other's existence. Please continue to fight. I'm not going to get, I don't give a crap like who's on top, because it has been a full decade, if not more, since I have given a crap when things aired. Like, I don't watch things live. I haven't, like, when did PBR come out? Like 20 years ago now. Like, I don't care.
Like Pabst Blue Ribbon PBR?
No, PVR.
Oh, PVR. Yeah, that's been a while.
Pabst Blue Ribbon's been around for like over a century, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's been a lot longer than just 10 years. Yeah. So I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. And that's the thing. When you and I talk about this, especially live, I try to bring this kind of conversation to a larger audience, because I think what a lot of people see. Yeah, exactly. Bring variety to your wrestling. And I want that. And I bring that up constantly. And when you and I chat, I want it to be a little bit more of a, I don't want to sound like full of myself, but I want to bring a higher level of discourse. I don't want to talk about, you know, they're booking this because they hate men or they hate. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to bring it to the Twitter level. I want to have the conversation based on where their money is going and where their opportunities are seen and what type of product they want to have.
There's so much of it, and they're clearly struggling. Both companies, as far as I'm concerned, to make that interesting, at least to me. But people are watching it, so I'm wrong. It's not, it's just my preference is not to watch 8 million wrestling matches so that nothing feels special or interesting ever again, because I've seen the moves 8 million times.
Speaking of nothing happening, let's talk about Raw real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to.
Yeah, nobody wants to, but here we are talking about 3 hours of mediocrity.
And by the way, we'll get back to AEW. We will talk about Rampage and Dynamite, preview that card. Those cards look great. We're excited for it. But hey, we'll do our due diligence here. Talk about Raw. We'll talk about NXT. Let's start with how both main events end in no contest.
One Raw for a count great. Out, inexplicably.
Yes.
Like, this is what I'm frustrated. On the same show, they have the matches end in a similar way where the same, like, the teammates attack each other. One ends in a DQ. One is left to go to a countout. Makes no sense. Like, you just remain internally consistent. It's not that hard. Like, I get it's wrestling, but geez, like...
I saw this brought up and I actually agree with this fully. They can run these can they coexist gimmicks, these storylines. They can run them. But the problem is they run them literally every pay-per-view cycle. And yeah, therefore we know what's happening. If they did it like once a quarter, I think we'd be more okay with it. But because it's always the same formulaic response to how they build to pay-per-views, it makes it that much more frustrating and that much worse. Doesn't make sense.
Like... Also, it would be fine or better if at least some of the times they could. Like why the hell did Big E and Drew have to come to blows? I don't understand. Like, if anyone was going to coexist, it would have been those two. It could have been fine. They can just, like, not every MMA fight is like a blood feud, you know? Like, I don't understand why everything has to be personal, why they can't just be... respectful competitors. Like, they're two faces.
They even teased coexisting. They did the stupid Mega Powers handshake, and I get the Mega Powers collide, but they didn't collide literally right after the handshake. It just made no sense. And by the way, every single match on Raw was under 5 minutes except for the King of the Ring matches. every match had a finish.
There's a give and take, you know.
I understand. Yeah, like JJ's pointing out, like, baby faces have no friends. And we've talked about this. It's the dumbest trope that they have, and they continue to play it. And on top of that, I think you'd also pointed out the build for Super SmackDown has made events that will end in disqualification. 100%. It's the same garbage. The handshake was cute. It was fun. I liked it. I liked the promo in the ring where at least they got, once the Usos joined the Big E and Drew promo, the part where Big E's just like, of course. Well, I like when Big E's just like, I think I can speak for Drew. And Drew's like, you most certainly cannot.
Yeah.
Silly shit like that makes me laugh. I like it. But they're teasing Big E and Roman at Survivor Series. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, whatever. It's just so far.
We just have to add the New Day somehow. But the New Day are on their own island on another show.
They don't even interact with Big E, even though this time they were on the same show.
They got to find a way, I guess, because the Usos and New Day will be on the same brand after Crown Jewel. That's how they add the New Day to the Survivor Series build. And then Big E will be on an island, but Big E will somehow cross from brand to brand because guess what? It's November. So they can do that.
But yet they're going to have to face each other at Survivor Series.
I guess. I mean, New Day
Dios and Usos. Mio. Yeah.
I would rather they do that. Make it a 6-man tag. Do that Bloodline and New Day thing again. But this time it's Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't see it happening.
King of the Ring matches. We told you so. Go back. Watch Sunday's show. We told you exactly how it's going to play out. We told you exactly why it doesn't matter. We told you everything that you need to know going into that. Here's the one shock from Monday night. Mansoor and Ali.
Yeah, they broke him up. God forbid a tag team exists. Oh, they're going to face each other. And that's going to be special because it's in Saudi Arabia.
Mansoor gets a statement win on Ali. And really, the winner is going to be Ali and whatever charity he decides to donate his earnings from that show to. Congratulations, Ali. You are the better person. I appreciate you.
Very much. Good man.
Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin beat them on Monday. Good. So that's a thing that still exists. Yeah. That still exists, but they weren't out with Bobby Lashley for his promo about euthanizing Goldberg, which, by the way, the best.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Old Yellerum.
Yes, just take him out back. They're going to be, it's going to be Youth in Western Asia. Sorry for the 80s album reference. Mm. But yes, I have nothing else to say. Queen's Crown matches, guess what? We told you so. Dewdrop versus Natty was a very special kind of not great.
Yeah, it was very bad. Dewdrop somewhat doing what we were criticizing Eva Marie for doing at one point. Like she was leaning back when Natty was going to kick her. Not the dance.
Sorry. That was
the dance. No. Eva Marie leaning back before, like just preempting all of the contact. And it's just like.
Only I may dance. Sorry, it's a Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Stop that. Only I may dance. It's a
Simpsons reference featuring Conan O'Brien.
One of my favorites. Okay. Riddle and Omos and that segment in the ring.
It sure did go on.
Oh my God, that was really bad. Wasn't it really bad?
It just kept going. It would have been fine for like a tight five, you know? But nope, just kept going.
Wow, they just kept going. Now, Randy. Now what? I did like Randy being literally under the ring. Nobody knew where he was. I like that. That was completely out of the blue. They did that well. And now Randy's just going to be like, I saved your ass last week. Now.
And he was just lying there like dead under the ring, waiting, listening to this go on and on. Like, it's just silly.
Raw did, in fact, feel like a fever dream. Not good. There was no plan. That backstage segment was Raw. Just like completely explain to you right there. What's the plan? There is no plan.
Go out there and do stuff. We've got King of the Ring. That's enough for 3 hours.
God. And then that dog shit tag match. Becky and Charlotte, Bianca, Sasha. Can they coexist? No, they can't. Of course they can't. And
they
then
can get disqualified, apparently, for beating up each other.
And then didn't even know that match. Was a thing. Reset the match. It. Can they coexist? Guess what? Nothing changed.
Still no. Yep. Same end. Don't even.
Yes, give women's wrestling a chance. However, I think you and I have talked about this. Vince saw, he took every promoter thing he could from putting women in these matches, and now he doesn't care anymore. He's moved on to a new group of people that he can expel money from. It's not my place to talk about it, so I'm going to leave it there. The point being, the women's matches are shorter again because he sees nothing. He can't put them in Hell in a Cell for the first time. He can't put them in the WrestleMania main event for the first time. He can't put them anywhere for the first time ever because that's all he has and he's not doing it. Therefore, it's out.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephanie just won an award for something. The creator of women's wrestling, Stephanie McMahon.
Yes.
Let's go a mile a minute. Let's talk about NXT.
Okay. I had NXT on. I don't know how much of it I retained. It just, I was annoyed through a lot of it. I'll tell you that much. So that's the level. And I wish I had some of that Tony Khan energy right now because I'm pretty, in case y'all haven't noticed, pretty like, all right, NXT, mile a minute. It begins awkwardly with a kidnapping.
That kidnapping aired an hour before they went to air, by the way, on the digital shorts.
That's weird. And then what came of it, even? Did something happen that I just missed? I don't remember them ever going back to that.
Did B-Fab and Top Dollar get out of that car? Did they just do the Samoa Joe thing? Maybe Legado del Fantasma was doing the nice thing and driving them to their first SmackDown.
Maybe
that's all that it was. Might have been
that, or they're dead because that was the leverage. And he was like, you better just lay down. And then Swerve was like, nope. And now they're dead.
I think it would have been much funnier if like Swerve had his headphones on the whole time and just walked right into the seat, into the PC, but like didn't notice that Top Doll and B-Fab were getting abducted, kidnapped.
Yeah.
And do that. Just walked out. And that's the opening to NXT. Oh God. Yeah, they did it to make sure they didn't interfere in the main event. That's fine. Like, they did a thing. It works. Yeah. Yeah. Like Throwback is saying about women's wrestling. Vince wants different things and he's pressured to put women in, but women's wrestling is awesome. And it is. Vince wasn't pressured. Vince was just seeing the first time only alarms going off in his head. That's really all it is. So we open up with that, with Legado kidnapping B-Fab Top Dollar, and then we go to Joel Gacy giving his promo in the ring, safe spaces and all that.
And then all the words that Fox News taught them to hate. Yeah,
that's right. And then Tommaso Ciampa comes out. We have the match. It's actually a good match because guess what? Gacy can work. That's cool.
Yeah, it was a good match. It had two picture-in-picture breaks, which I found odd to start the show, but that's fine. Do that, I guess.
Well, we'll find out in a second because they finished the match. Ciampa wins. Shock to me. I did not expect that. I thought they'd be a three-way. And instead, we have Harlan come out and take out Ciampa.
And pop every muscle in his neck and forehead that he possibly could. Or every vein, sorry.
That's why he shaved his head. Anyway.
Got to pop them veins.
And then he goes after Gacy. And what does Gacy do? Pretty.
He soothes him.
He soothes him. So is he the monster or is it a weird sex thing? What do you think?
I hate all of this.
By the way, commentary, once they focus in on Harlan the first time, they have to mention how Kevin Durant put something on Instagram about him. they just force it in there. Like, Kevin Durant's favorite wrestler. It's like, oh, sure he is.
Yeah, he's not. One, he hasn't wrestled yet.
Yeah, it was not good. So I don't know what, is it a weird sex thing? I don't know, but Gacy strokes Harlan's face because he's the follower. Remember, he's follower number one. And what does Harlan do? Saunters away awkwardly.
He kind of skipped away.
He looked like Ren and Stimpy. Whenever Stimpy gets really happy, he just kind of, it was that. I don't know what happened.
It was weird. I know where they're going with this, I think, but it's just like, okay, that's fine.
Is it Billy and Chuck 2.0? God. That's awful.
Here's the thing. Like I said, I don't know. It's become clear to me what edgy is going to be.
Yeah.
Because this is what's edgy now, and it's not in a way that I care for. So we'll see how much I like NXT going forward.
Exactly. Right away, Toxic Attraction come out, and they challenge.
We spent 5 minutes on Mandy Rose's legs.
And then upper boobs. So they got that. JC and Gigi, they cut a promo wanting the tag titles. Gigi with the gum in her mouth. She's got to stop that because guess what? It sounds awful. And then Mandy Rose wants the women's title. Friends, Hispanic Heritage Month ends 2 days from now.
Okay.
Sorry, Raquel. And then they leave and Zion Quinn comes out and he has squash with Malik Blade. And that's
fine. Love this like crossing in the entrance crap they're doing constantly. It's like, what am I getting from this? I don't care.
It's high school.
Yeah. That's it. Oh my God. That's perfect. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah. It's edgy high school drama.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Seeing everyone between periods, between class. And listen, NXT, like we'll get into the Grayson Waller and Cameron Grimes stuff. It's very much
Fuckboy Island.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Wasn't high school. Breaker High a thing? Breaker High was a thing.
Well, weren't they on a cruise ship for that?
I think, yeah. For a Canadian American teen comedy drama series. And UPN and YTV. Yeah, anyway. Prepare for Breaker High when he eventually takes the title from Ciampa.
Well, Braun Breaker High and Tommaso Ciampa versus GYV next week. Can they coexist? Probably yes, between the bells they can.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Ciampa's been the one person who's been allowed to do that, it seems.
Breaker will probably steal the pin, and then they'll have a shoving match, and then they'll be pulled apart, and that'll be it.
Yeah, there'll be a raising of the title, a little shoving of the titties.
Yes, there will be tits around for both men. I can't go into a women's match after talking about boobs. Anyway,
NXT is focused pretty heavily on it, so.
Yeah, that's true. Ivy Nile makes her debut against Valentina Ferraz. By the way, I loved it.
This was a high point. Yep, enjoyed
very
this.
Good match. Very, very easy to watch match. The side bending torture rack was so cool. I was
finish that isn't a clothesline. I'm very into this. Like it was good and it was slow. They let it they let her just do the squats and look like she's bending her. So that was very, very good.
And it was a vice move. Like it was a cool submission style move. I was a big fan of that. I think it looked really neat and it looks like it hurts.
Yeah. 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 Fine very, very that. Well done. Enjoyed that. They're building her well, at least.
Caleb talking about Toxic Attraction running NXT Women's Division like UE. Yeah, that is
They're going that way, 100%. They have a lot of faith in those three, so they're going hard into it.
Shout out to BTE. Yes, it is all about the boobs. If you haven't watched BTE for the last 2 weeks, please do. John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Adam Cole having the best time talking about it's all about the boobs.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happens next? What's his face? Bivens gets in the ring and he starts talking. And then all of a sudden, Roderick Strong, thankfully, is stopped by Ikemen Jiro, who has the best theme in NXT.
Yeah, Roderick Strong sounds like a dork in this, by the way.
Roderick Dork?
Yeah. Anyway, yes, yeah, Jiro comes out with a tremendous theme.
Yes, that is the best theme right now in wrestling. I don't care what you say. It's not all about the boom. It's all about whatever Ikemen Jiro's theme is. Go find it. It's real good. And then immediately, Jiro is squashed by Julius Creed, who is apparently packing?
What?
Packing what? He like lifts up his shirt at one point. He's like, I'm always packing.
And oh,
like,
yeah. I guess it's his six pack. But
I guess.
Like,
I thought it was. Know. I thought he always
gun?
Packs his
gear. He should have a pack gun.
His gear. It was
stupid. Made no sense. Creed? But I mean, I don't know. They seem dim, the two of them. So like, whatever.
Well, it is high school. They are the athletes.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Lash Legend.
Getting better. I think this is like it was stronger overall. They're refining who that character is.
I don't think there is a fourth in Toxic Attraction. I just think it was the idea that there's going to be someone who runs NXT from the women's division. It's the three of them in Toxic Attraction.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Lash Legend, guilty pleasure, and it's hilarious.
Yeah,
I get it. Squid Games reference?
Yeah, got to.
Have to. She sings now. Did you know that Lash Legend can sing?
Pretty good. And she came up with a better little like spike than than Hit Row has.
She definitely shut up that one guy in the crowd who's always chanting, Hit Row! Sorry.
Well, that's good. With B-Fab dead, maybe she can step in.
Oh, poor B-Fab. I think they were just giving her a ride to the next town. That's all. No Tony D'Angelo, though. Tony didn't make it onto Lash Legend show because of a production error.
Which is fine. I would have liked to have seen him on the show at all, though. But I guess not this week.
Sorry, going back to the Creed thing. He said he was strapped. So he's packing.
He did say he was strapped, yeah.
Strapped with what, though? Is carrying a gun?
I don't know.
Is he Arn Creed?
No, it's his strong core.
Julius Anderson? What are we doing here? Okay, so then they do Tony. Well, they do a bunch of other stuff, but they do the Tony D'Angelo segment, and he's got Mock in his car because he couldn't be on Lash Legend's show.
Whoa, what? Did I miss this? I think I missed this one entirely.
So he's like, this was later on in the show where he's like, and I missed a lot of the show. I'll tell you why after we talk about NXT, where I put Sportsnet on blast. He does a thing. He's on a car. He's like leaning over. He's like, hey, everyone watched me win. I'm the guy. I'm the best. Da da da. And then a different kind of strapped. No, it's the same
guy. He's got his cup on. He's ready to go. He's got a cup on and he's ready to wrestle.
So he's at the car and he's like, hey, everyone's talking about I won the match. Blah, blah, blah. And then eventually he talks about the Lash Legend thing not happening. And then you hear like the car, the hood of the car, or not the hood, the back seat.
The trunk.
The trunk.
Banging on the trunk.
Yeah. And it's Mark, the producer. You don't know it's him.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's what I wanted. That's good. Good stuff.
So they did the Lash Legend segment, just going back to that. And then immediately they go into the Brooding Brits. That was a very, very weird stark contrast. Don't know what happened there.
They're not good at the pacing. Like it's fast, but I wouldn't say that it's done well. It's weird.
Yeah, we had two kidnappings in one night. NXT.
Two kidnappings in one night. We're going to see a murder in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man.
Hooray.
This is the edgy product y'all wanted. Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner take on Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland. I feel bad for Kyle O'Reilly. He was the golden boy until literally 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, now he's playing second fiddle to Von Wagner.
I think we're seeing the end of Kyle O'Reilly in NXT. Like, just the end of, even in WWE.
Yeah, I don't know. They clearly have no ideas for him.
But also, like, what is he, character-wise, what is he bringing to the table? Like, what is he going to bring to stand out? That's my big question. Because again, if WWE and NXT especially are about these big bombastic out there characters that are slowly getting over, ironically or not, I don't care, they're still getting conversation, what is Kyle O'Reilly's, what's his
character? He needs a one-liner, right? Like, yeah. you got to the moon, you got all the words that Fox News doesn't like, you got, what was the other one? You got Hit Row, but that's for four people. There's one that's mostly just irritating to me. Oh, Carmelo Hayes.
Really?
He's just a cocky guy who won't stop repeating himself. That's his character. Now he's big shit.
I don't even want to call him the shooter. Wait, unless we're talking about Julius Creed. Sorry.
No, yeah, but that's the thing. He's like, you know, when he takes his shot, he don't miss. And he just keeps saying it. And that's not a character.
I mean, he didn't miss at the end of the show. We'll get to that.
No, he did not. But yeah, we'll get to it.
Yeah,
so he's got to come up with a snappy one-liner for Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly was never that kind of character, ever. No. Like, he was always just the wrestler's wrestler. And for that, anywhere else is going to be good for you. Again, if you're coming to WWE and you're a wrestler, I'm sorry, it's not the place.
You're a t-shirt of a man or you're nothing.
You're not a wrestler in WWE. You are an entertainer. And yeah. You need the character. You need the thing. This isn't me disparaging Kyle O'Reilly because he's a wonderful human being and a wonderful performer as a wrestler, but as a character, like Cool Kyle, yeah, did not pan out.
No, yeah, it's not enough there.
You can put him in the Diamond Mine, sure, but then how far does Diamond Mine go?
I mean, Diamond Mine never turned into, I don't think that has much legs, honestly. I really just don't, because they're not leaning too heavily into it. Those guys don't, like, it doesn't feel like a fight gym. When it came in, I assumed it was going to be either a bunch of like chiseled bodybuilder types or an MMA gym. They're going towards the MMA gym now, but it doesn't work for me.
part of it happened that way because they got stuck in that transition period between Triple H and his version of 1.0 NXT and then this new one. So we're stuck again where they are just going to be there and Bivens is going to speak for them and get them over and it's going to look cool. But at the end of the day, they flounder wherever they go.
Yeah,
it was supposed Diamond Mind is this cruiserweight juggernaut, and that's not.
But that's the thing. When it was saddled to the cruiserweight division, I was like, "Well, that's going nowhere."
Yeah,
because it's just people, that's not a good idea.
People are saying waiting for Kyle's contract to end because they can see him literally anywhere else. I get that. I agree with that. There is room for Kyle O'Reilly in other companies as a wrestler. Again, this goes back to where you fit in, and Kyle O'Reilly as character, he's got to find what it is if he wants to stick around in WWE. Otherwise, we're just watching the end of him in WWE, and that's fine if he's ready to move on.
Yeah. Oh, and another one-liner. Io Shirai doesn't like anyone.
Good for her. I don't like anybody either. I can really relate to her. Ridge Holland drops the fall because he's going to SmackDown. Have fun. Bye. Ridge Holland. Very excited for you.
Take your tiny little club and your silly little hat and go to SmackDown and be British, because that's your character.
I don't have a thing, but the baton with where he points it at you very menacingly.
Yeah. It's so little, though. It's like, I feel like I don't think you're going to get me.
High stakes poker champion Duke Hudson defeats Grayson Waller. Fine, whatever. By the way, that poker gimmick's been there all along. I don't know where people are just like, is he suddenly a poker player?
Yeah, that was always part of this. Yeah.
He's talked about it since forever. Forever. And Waller being the player, that's a slippery slope.
He does have an accent.
Right? And he literally says, it's like, they like me because I'm Australian. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it. It's pretty sexy accent. It's true. Crikey. I do like the idea of Waller doing Hitch with Cameron Grimes. Being the Cyrano de Bergerac thing. That's fine. I'm a fan of that. I think it's cute. But they have to be careful. They have to be very careful.
Do you think they're going
to
be careful, though? Do you think they're going to be careful?
No. And that's the problem. They can't use the women as objects the entire time. They had that one extra in the blue dress who was just like, you know, what does he say? Waller's just like, go get dressed and we'll go out on the night. And it's like, she's like, okay.
Oh, he said, like, go take a hooker bath or something like that. It was not great. Lord. Yeah. Which is already a mild way of putting that, but probably shouldn't. Anyway.
I am no one's best friend. Sorry, I'm reading off the chat. If you're not watching us live on Twitter, on Twitter.com. If you're not watching us live at YouTube.com/TimAndJoelPod, I don't know what to tell you. But if you're here, drop us a thumbs up. Maybe leave a comment. Hang out with us in the live chat. Share the video around, by the way. getting our friends, your friends, if we're going to be all friends together, you may as well subscribe to the channel and, you know, share the links to these live shows and join our Discord. It's free. Indy and Persia win a match.
Oh, they're a team now.
They are a team. They're besties. Team besties.
Yeah. Team besties.
Remember Saray?
Yeah, a little bit, vaguely.
Yeah. 30 seconds into this match, she's out. And then she comes back for the finish, where she takes a big boot and Amari Miller gets pinned. Okay, sure. Why not? They win the match. We told you they would. They had to win a match to get that tag team title shot. Well, guess what? One match. That's all you need to win because they are in it. It's a three-way. Halloween Havoc. So who gets pinned?
Stark.
No, I think Persia gets pinned.
Yeah.
I think Indy gets pinned.
You think?
How do we,
yeah, probably Indy, actually. That makes sense.
I think Indy gets distracted by something happening to her hubby, and she gets rolled up by
Gigi. Transition to something else.
Halloween Havoc is the 26th.
Sixth, yeah.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from now. So there we go. Yeah, but I think this whole thing is just put in so that they don't pin Stark or Io. I think Indy gets rolled up and loses, and that's how Gigi and JC win the tag titles. There we go.
God.
There we go. Yeah, we can't complain because at Bound for Glory, it's the newly signed Inspiration having a tag title shot against Decay, which, by the way, is going to be the funniest match ever because you're going to see both members of the Inspiration like get freaking bit. Out watching Rosemary and Havoc interact. That's good. Yeah, some of that's going to be really funny. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy that. And I really enjoyed Swerve versus Escobar. That was his time, Santos. That was your
good
time.
Good match. Great match.
Very upset. What did you think? What did you think? Anything from the match that stood out to you that you want to talk about?
It felt like an exhausting pace. Like they were, it was thing after thing after thing. Very, very, like, yeah, kept me engaged. Only thing on this show that really did, aside from Ivy.
Yep. Swerve retains, which shocked a lot of people, myself included. We were
big
all
shock,
sitting here.
But yeah.
But apparently the breakout tournament contract is now Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank. Yep. Apparently, which they, it's so weird how pointed the phrasing was altered. Like it just felt so like, yeah, you know what you're doing. Like
they want to make it more main rostery. If that's what they want to do, I'm fine with it. At least sure. This man, like he won a tournament to get there. He doesn't have to call a shot. It's literally a free cash-in for a heel to do. I didn't hate it. I wanted Santos Escobar to win. I've very, very clearly stand Tasma, but if this is the way they're going to do it, I'm fine with this being the outcome. Carmelo Hayes executes his championship opportunity. That's the words that they used from the announcers. Sure.
They just clearly look at the script for Money in the Bank, pulled out the thesaurus, and just substitute it. It's like, okay.
So they call the law office and we're just like, it's another word for cash in. And they're just like, yeah. What? Vince wasn't going to have NXT on his main roster. Let's face it.
No.
That North American title wasn't going to go anywhere near. Yeah. Clean sweep for Toxic Attraction. I see that.
Yeah. Can see that happening.
That was NXT. So I didn't get to watch all of NXT because Sportsnet here in Canada started a new program, a new tier.
Which you championed quite heavily shortly after.
I still kind of do, and I think maybe it was a one-off, and I have a friend of mine at Rogers, who Sportsnet is owned by Rogers Media. I have a friend who actually helped me out with an internal thing. He might have some answers that I didn't. So I watched Raw on this new tiered platform. It's $15 a month, $15, and it gets you WWE Network, all the content, the pay-per-views, and live Raw, SmackDown, and NXT for $15 a month for a cord cutter. That's a really good deal. But the program is also brand new, so a lot of people are still kind of stumbling over themselves trying to figure out how it works. So I jumped in. I was like, $15, why not? Raw on Monday worked perfectly well. That's when I signed up. And then last night, watching NXT, 45 minutes in, I kind of got glitchy, and I was like, fine, I'll just refresh the page. It locked me out. Told me to upgrade my service if I wanted to continue. So I had to get tech support / their customer care somehow. Eventually I do. They don't figure out an answer. Tech support tells me I'm on the wrong tier. It becomes a whole rigmarole. And like I said, since then I've had someone from Rogers reach out. Hopefully it's a one-off. It sounds like it was just a weird like glitch in their system. SmackDown should be fine. But either way, I'm still going to champion this program, this product, until it lets me down again.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. So yes, you're paying $9.99 for international WWE network, but we're getting for $15 Canadian, which is about the same. We're also getting the live television content included. Yeah. So for us, like that's super well worth it. Cause I don't have cable. I don't pay for cable. I don't want to keep having noise. I don't want to pirate my way through Raw, SmackDown, NXT. So for $15, it makes sense. I used to do the network for $10 a month. I don't anymore because I can do this product and get more out of it. And keep in mind exchange rates. So let's go to AEW. Let's talk about Dynamite. Let's talk about Rampage. We talked about at the top of the show. Let's actually talk about the matches that they're going to have on the buy-in. Starts at 9 p.m. Eastern on YouTube.com. They're going to do Bobby Fish versus Lee Moriarty.
Bobby Fish versus Lee Moriarty. Oh, my God.
That one didn't really get people.
Yeah, I don't care. It'll probably be fine. I'm not going to race to see that.
Like, they'll go crazy. And to be honest, there are people who are huge fans of Lee Moriarty and are very excited for him.
I don't even know who he is. So that's a breakout match.
He's a very, very, very popular name on the indies that has recently signed with AEW. So like, there's a lot of love for him as a human being, as a wrestler, so on and so forth. I'm excited. I do think the world of Lee, he's really good. He's again, well-liked. Bobby Fish is Bobby Fish. He'll be fine taking an L to Lee Moriarty, who has a match against... No, Fish has Brian next on Saturday. It's weird. Ugh. Anyway. So Bobby Fish, Lee Moriarty. But that's not the match in the buy-in. That's not the ticket seller. The ticket seller is Brian Danielson taking on Minoru Suzuki, a.k.a. Japanese Goldberg.
Yeah, Japanese Goldberg. Eat it. Did you see that? I don't care. That's basically it. Yeah.
Oh, as my chair creaks. That is the funniest shit I've read in days. And the thing is, that was actually like, that guy knows. He's just trolling. But people fell hard for it.
It's very funny.
I'm going to call Suzuki Japanese Goldberg from now on.
Damn right.
I loved it. Yeah, but that's the match that people want to see. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm interested in that one.
Yeah, and like it's very funny that Brian Danielson and Minoru Suzuki, a main event on any big level indie show, is like the YouTube content, which is great. It's funny ass shit. Something. Rampage, the main show, the big show, the one that matters. Opening up the show, I assume, is CM Punk and Matt Sydal. Sure. Why not? Under CM Punk going to be in tights or long johns again?
It was long pants last time, so I'm thinking underwear on Friday.
I think he's going to be in a singlet. He's going to really just fool us all.
Do it. Yeah.
Why not? That'll be fun. It'll be good. It's pay-per-view YouTube. Anyway, Danielson and Suzuki, looking forward to that. Oh, sorry, Punk and Sydal, looking forward to that one. I don't know what to expect other than a Punk win. Maybe someone runs in afterwards and we have more Team Taz.
More Team Taz.
Speaking of more teams, Chris Jericho, Sammy Guevara. Sorry, we got to do the thing.
Sammy Guevara.
Thank you. Jake Hager, they take on Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, Men of the Year, and Junior Dos Santos. With Jorge Masvidal at ringside and Dan Lambert, or as our friend JJ says, Uncle Dan. Sure, why not? Yeah, send Hook. Send Hook for everything. Send Hook to be on commentary. Send Hook to be the timekeeper. Send Hook to be the hooker. And let's have Jericho, Sammy, and Hager versus those three, Dos Santos, Page, and Sky. What do you think? What happens in this match?
Men of the Year win.
Yeah, big fan of that.
Yeah, that's what I think happens, because I think they need a big win. I think they're gonna let the special boy Junior Dos Santos get a W for a change.
Do you think they do it for the heat they have so Dos Santos get the pin? Who does he pin? Hager?
It should be Jericho, but it'll probably be Hager.
Could Could you imagine Jericho gets pinned by Dos Santos? Actually, Jericho would love that. I think that he would might, be like that. That would be a whole grounds for Jericho.
Jericho doesn't mind taking an L when it's funny.
I would like to see Men of the Year and Dos Santos get the win. They did last time, I think, on that Rampage in New York when I was there. Yeah, and I don't remember anything. I think they did. They had to get that win.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a match I'm looking forward to for like all the wrong reasons. Love this. When is TK booking Orange Cassidy versus Japanese Goldberg?
Oh my God. Please do that. It would be very amusing.
Hager got rolled up last time. There we go.
Yeah. So I think Jericho eats the pin now.
Let's have it. Let's have Jericho. Let's have Junior Dos Santos pin Chris Jericho. Our TEW AEW series is going great. And then we have Ruby Soho versus The Bunny. And The Bunny will get the roll-up victory here. No, probably not.
No. She's going to miss with the brass knucks, and Ruby's going to win.
I'm looking forward to Penelope Ford being out with The Bunny and missing with the brass knucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
MMA enthusiast Chris Jericho is right. He'll be so he'll be honored to take the pin. Soho and Bunny will be a good match. It'll just be a quick one, I think.
Yeah. I don't see it being too long.
Do you see Ruby Soho being the TNT champion or the TBS champion, I should say?
Outside possibility, yeah. Before, like I would have said, absolutely Jade, but I think there's more people to play around in that space now. So,
yeah, I'm agreeing with that. What else is there? Dynamite. Let's talk about Dynamite real quick as we get towards the exits. Saturday Night Dynamite, Bobby Fish and Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson. Whew, I'm never going to get the name right. It's right in front of me, Bryan Danielson. I'm never going to get it right.
Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson, Bobby Fish. Who kicks whose head off?
I mean, Fish going to lose again, but they're going to have a banger. I think it's going to be a quietly great match.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they are going to go nuts on each other. But it's a night later after Suzuki and Bryan kind of go ham on each other.
I think Bryan is trying to die. So we'll see.
That's fair. I mean, Bryan said some things about his concussion issues from his WWE days recently. If you haven't
sounded like a man concussed. Yes.
A lot of feelings about that one. But that's going to be Danielson and Bobby Fish. Sure. For the AAA tag team titles, the Lucha Bros take on, I shit you not, a masked tag team.
Yeah, personally known. But
Andrade's masked tag team. Now, at the AAA show, I wish Luis was here to say this, I think it was Bandito came out with somebody else. Basically, like they almost gave it away. Maybe it was Dragon Lee. I can't remember anymore. Two masked wrestlers came out who are a tag team in AAA, came out and confronted the Lucha Bros for those tag titles. I'm assuming it's them.
Okay, so this will be two masked wrestlers who, once revealed, I will not know who they are. that is what I'm expecting.
Yeah, it was Dragon Lee and Drolistico. Thank you.
See? More.
Yeah.
They're going to take off those masks and I'll be like, cool.
And then, yeah, Drolistico is Lee and Roosh's brother. And Roosh has a connection to all these guys because of Andrade and Los Ingobernables.
There we go. It works.
Yeah, it works. But we'll see. I mean, listen, they either blew their load early in the AAA show or they've got a different group coming out because Dragon Lee is technically a Ring of Honor talent. I don't know. Or the Forbidden Door's open and for once AAA is playing ball. Lucha Bros, I assume, retain the tag titles for AAA here?
Maybe.
They've had them for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a possibility. Again, it will all be completely meaningless to me. Because I don't watch any AAA stuff, but I can see them dropping it. It just makes, I don't know, seems like a weird opportunity to do it.
Dante Martin takes on Malakai Black. I gave you my hot take last week. I think this is Dante Martin's first win.
Yeah.
His statement win, Malakai Black's first loss.
I think that it makes a lot of sense. I think it's going to be a good match no matter what. Some people are going to get kicked in the head.
Oh, so much head kicking. I really need more head kicking in my wrestling, by the way. Anyway, I think, yeah, so after TK said for weeks, Dante Martin is one big statement win away from breaking out in AEW, I think this is it. I think this is that moment for him. It would suck to happen on a Saturday night Dynamite, but
That's fine.
I think enough people would get behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And again, it makes the Malachi Black character still, still strong, because once we get to the Cody versus Malachi match at Full Gear, presumably, it makes it so that Black can actually withstand to take the loss and people not complain. Oh, Cody wanted to give Black's first loss. It would be better than that. It would actually be, you know, Black's already lost the match and he lost it to a guy who deserved to win the big
match. Plus, when Cody shoots him, you know, he's got a valid excuse. He was shot.
You think he's going to shoot the face paint?
Shoot him in the knee. Just kneecap him. Boom. I know your one weakness. Bullets to the knee.
Can't do your kicks without a knee.
Yeah.
You say you don't need Cody and Black.
You may not need it, but it's going to be given to you.
That's right. You're going to get it. And it's going to be Cody putting his career on the line or some shit.
Arn's taking this match and he's putting it right up to your face and he's spraying your brains all over the pavement with it.
You're going to put the gun on a pole. It'll be a gun on a pole match. Arn Anderson versus Cody Glock on a pole match. There you go. Yeah. All right. And then finally, the field for the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament will be revealed. I want to know who's in this tournament, because if Miro's in it, Miro wins. Yeah, there's a tournament. The finals are Full Gear.
Why didn't I hear about this?
It was on Rampage.
Oh.
Rampage
Fridays, man.
Yeah, Tanya Harding, that shit.
That's exactly, right. But with guns.
They're delirious at this point.
Pipes are for amateurs.
That's right. I got your pipes. Yeah, so the World Title Eliminator Tournament is pretty straightforward. It's going to be a bunch of guys having matches, and then the finals will determine the number one contender for the world title. The one problem with that is if a heel wins, then Adam Page wins the title at Full Gear.
Yeah, it's the time alignment is odd. I mean, at least they'll probably drag this one out, you know, like
they don't always do that. They don't always do that. It's just something we say. They could swerve us, bro.
Anyway, whatever. Just make it longer than two rounds and I'm good.
It's going to be much longer than two rounds. And I love they're doing this, because we spent weeks telling you that the King of the Ring and Queen's Crown tournaments mean nothing.
Stupid, stumpy brackets.
So now we're going to get the World Title Eliminator Tournament, which is going to mean something. I'm fine with that. Is there anything else from the worlds of AEW or WWE or NXT or anywhere else that you've been watching that you want to point out? Did you watch Knockouts Knockdown?
Not yet. Been too busy watching terrible Raw.
Did you watch Roads to the Top?
Never. Never.
Can I give you a little bit of love from this? That's never going to get old for me.
Dork.
Tim, where can the kids find you on the internet?
Hey, you can find me at TimStonep, TimStonep on Twitter.
Show is at Tim and Joel Pod. We are timandjoelpod.com. Go ahead and subscribe to us. Tell your friends about us. We'd love to have you. I agree that Deonna versus Masha Slamovich was awesome. Go ahead, watch that match if you haven't yet. Yes, women's wrestling is a draw. Yes, black wrestling is a draw. Yes, good wrestling is a draw. Please get in on that. I am at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. It's nice to go under an hour for once after weeks of going an hour 20. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, our best episode yet. Tremendous. Let your friends know. We'll see you on Sunday. Good night.